It's again Isaiah chapter 55. Now again, I welcome everybody in this house this morning. I think most of you that have been here know we are in a series on Sunday morning, and we are ministering out of a word that the Lord gave me for this new year. And through prayer and through seeking God, God put this word in my heart that this year would be a year of restoration. I said, God put that in my heart, a word from Him to give to you. And this is what He told me. He said, teach my people and let them put that word in their heart so that they can speak it forth from their mouth. And so that's what we're doing. Because I believe that this is going to be your year of restoration. And we spent some time defining what restoration, because we can throw around words, you know, in our sermons and teachings as preachers and just assume people understand those words. So we took time to define what restoration was. And essentially, it's getting back everything that the devil has stolen from you. But it's also getting back things like your health. It's getting things back, you know, sometimes just living life, just the world. How many know the world can take things from you? Just living every day can rob you and take things from you. So we're declaring by the word of the Lord that this word is getting down in our hearts so that it will be in our mouths and we can speak it forth. And we believe that every promise of God, everything that He has given us, will come to pass in Jesus' name. So, just quickly here, in the first week, and we're on week three, by the way, we looked at the story of Job in the Old Testament. Have you ever read Job? You know, the Bible talks about Job as being a blessed man. In fact, we understand by reading that and studying that, that Job was the richest man in all the earth. But he lost everything. But in the end, God restored to him back twice as much as he had before. And then we talked about the principle of the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs. When the thief that steals is found out, he has to restore sevenfold. Then we came over and looked what Jesus taught in the New Testament. He said anybody that gives up things in life, like houses or lands or mothers or fathers, He said will receive back 30, 60, even 100-fold now in this life and the life to come. So what we found out is this, that God always restores back to His people who are in covenant with Him more or greater value than what they lost. Now that's the kind of God that we serve. He doesn't just give you back equal. He always gives back more. And then we got over into week two where we talked about Jesus being our jubilee. And I was going to kind of give a little bit more on that, but I want to kind of inject something today, and I think you'll see it's important that we'll get back to it. But we talked about Jesus being our jubilee and took out of the scripture Luke 4:19, and where Jesus came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then last week we began to look at what jubilee was and how jubilee on that 50th year was a year of restoration to God's people. I believe that God is a God who restores. God is a God who pays back or multiplies back everything that the enemy takes and steals from us in our life if we know how to receive it. Are you with me? So today I'm gonna not deviate, because I think this is important that you get this part in here before I go on and get back to Luke chapter 4. But here's what the title of the message is today. I'm just simply calling it Start Here. Y'all are so excited today. Start here. You say, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, I don't know. Have you ever been to an aquarium, or we went to that Festival of Lights in Hidalgo this year, and they have arrows pointing, say, start here. And they even, you have to tune your radio in to a certain frequency, and they even give you instructions. And, sometimes you go into a museum, You're supposed to follow the arrows and you start here because that's where you start so that you make sure you go the correct path and see what you're supposed to see. Well, that's what I mean today about start here. What I am going to share with you here in just a moment, I believe it will revolutionize your life. When you get a hold of what I'm going to teach you this morning, you're going to find out that the things of God that God has promised will begin to come in your life. Because here's what happens. A lot of people, God dealt with me about the reasons that so many of His people struggle. So many of His people know the promises of God in the Word, but they struggle receiving their healing. They struggle receiving their financial blessings. And in so many areas in the Word that God specifically says that He will do, but yet people struggle. And if you'll get a hold of what I'm sharing with you today, this is why I'm calling it Start Here, because there's Bible principles. How many know the principles of God work? The Word of God works, okay? But there's, it's like that old movie, I don't know how old it is, not too long ago, but City Slickers, that guy, that older guy in there, what's his name, Curly, he kept saying, just this one thing, just this one thing. Anybody remember that? Don't act real spiritual this morning. I know some of y'all watch those things. It was a pretty clean movie. But anyway, he said, just this one thing. Well, just this one thing. If you'll get just this one thing, it will revolutionize your life and the Word of God will work, because what I'm going to share with you is how this Word will work for you. Now, when we started this, the Lord said, I want you to read out of Isaiah 55. So before I get what I'm going to tell you, let's read out of Isaiah 55, okay? And let's look at verse 10 and 11. Are you still with me? All right. So this is the scriptures that God gave us to start this message with. And it says in verse 10, it says, and if you don't have a Bible this morning, you can look up on the screen, we're reading out of the New King James. It says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but water the earth. Say, water the earth. And makes it bring forth and bud. Now, we understand what the rain comes for, and those who have snow, they said it was snowing even in Dallas yesterday. We know what that is for. It's to come down. It's to water the earth so the water can bud. So the water, the earth can bud and bring forth fruit. That's what he's saying, okay? It says that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. But make no mistake here, it is talking about the Word of God. Because look at the next verse. He said, so shall my word. In other words, just how rain comes from heaven and snow comes from heaven to water the earth so that the earth will get green and bud and all the seed that's in the earth will grow and produce fruit. He says, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void or empty, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. Can we just read that together? If you don't have it, look up on this. Let's read it together. Let's read verse 11. Let's read it together. Ready? So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So he's talking about the Word of God, and most of us in here by now that's listened to me preach and teach over the years know that the Word of God is a seed. Well, the Word of God that you're receiving right now is seed that is planted into your life, into your heart. And we have a promise here of how this seed works. You know, no farmer plants seed in the ground and gets up the next morning and goes out there and expects his crop. No, we need to know more, or we need to know at least as much as a farmer, amen? And we need to understand that as the Word of God comes forth, that there's a process by which that Word will germinate. That Word is already alive. It's seed going down on the inside of us, and it will accomplish the thing that it's sent to do, or what the Bible says, it won't return empty, but it will produce the crop. Now listen to me. this morning, you're sitting here, and one of two things are happening. Some of you that have never heard this kind of message, this is seed going into the soil of your heart. So I'm sowing seed into your life this morning. Now, you that have been here, or you that may have heard some of these things, and the Word is in you, then I'm watering that seed. But here's the point. There is a process. And even if you have heard this Scripture and you think you know this Scripture, there's still a process, because the seed can go dormant in your own life. Because if it's not producing, that means even though the seed is there, it still needs to be watered. It still needs to have the right elements so it can spring forth and bud and produce fruit. If you're following what I'm saying, say amen, somebody. So, we talked about restoration, and this is not a real popular subject. You don't hear a lot of preachers preach on restoration and the fact that God wants to restore back to His people the things that have been stolen from them. You don't hear a lot of preaching that. So we have to allow the Word that's in our hearts to be watered so that we have faith, and faith can arise in our hearts to believe God, that we don't just have to sit back and let the world rip us off. We don't just have to sit back and, you know, let the devil do whatever he wants to do, because by his own nature, by his own character, we know he's a thief. We know that he is a robber. We know that he will do everything he can do to destroy or steal from the lives of people. Okay? So, today I want to talk to you about the starting point. Remember the title of the message? Start Here. I want to talk to you about where you start in order to get the Word of God, the seed that is being sown or being watered in your heart, will work. The starting point, and you're going to be excited. No, you're not. Well, I tell you what, you're probably not going to be excited about it, but it's something you need to know. The starting point, if you want the Word to work in your life, the promises of God to come to pass, the starting point is humility. Now, if you know this morning that you are a humble person, I want you to stand up right now. Isn't that amazing? How come you didn't stand up? It's not a trick question. It's not a trick question. But you know why you didn't stand up? Because religion has taught you that you're not supposed to identify yourself as a humble person. You know, you don't want anybody to know that you're a humble person. But there's a scripture, in fact, you don't have to turn there, over in the book of Numbers. Would you just put that scripture up for them, please? Numbers 12:3. Come on. The reason that I tell you this is because we didn't stand up, that shows us that there's pride in our life. Now, you're probably saying, well, Pastor, that's a low blow. We didn't understand what you were saying. Well, I made it very clear. I said, if you know that you are a humble person, to stand up. And not a person stood up. Now, look what Moses said. Look at this. He said, now the... And it's a little blurry. I thought my eyes were going better, but it's our camera. It says, now the man Moses was very humble. Say humble. More than all men who were on the face of the earth. Now, guess who wrote that? Who wrote that? Moses. So evidently, Moses made a declaration that he was the most humble man in all of the earth. So it must be okay to say that we are humble. It's not a sin to say that we're a humble people. I'm going to show you something. I told you, you're not going to shout right now, but you will shout a little bit later. In fact, we're going to find out that we are supposed to be clothed with humility. Now, if we don't have humility working in our life, then we've got the opposite of that, which is pride. Now, a lot of Christians, again, they don't understand or they don't really know what it means to have pride. Well, they know a few scriptures. Remember I said last week, some of us are just spiritual enough to be dangerous in certain areas, because we know that the Bible says Satan, Lucifer, fell because of pride. And the book of Proverbs says, Pastor, that pride goeth before a fall. Well, most of us know that scripture, but see, time you know that or you're able to quote that, how many know it's too late for you? That's not what you want to find out at the beginning. That's what you want to find out somewhere in the middle or the end. Come on, are you with me? So let's go over to 1 Peter. Are y'all okay? I told you, you're going to get excited about this before I get through. 1 Peter, let's go over, 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, I've heard people, now listen to this. I've heard preachers teach on humility. Let me just share a couple things here before I read out of 1 Peter. And I've heard them say things like this. Maybe you've heard them. Well, you know, if you don't humble yourself, God will humble you. Anybody ever heard that? Well, let me remind you of what the Bible says, okay? It is true, under the old covenant, there's many instances where God had to humble the people of Israel. But the New Testament, say the New Testament, the New Testament, which is what we live under and live by, says, humble yourself. It didn't say God would humble you. It said, humble yourself. Are you with me? So, in other words, in the New Testament, that's what we're saying here, it's not that God will humble us. If I'm going to be humble, I'm going to have to learn to humble myself. And there's a reason for that, because should not humility and pride be something that you could spot in your life? Now listen, I didn't say spot it in somebody else's life. I said, shouldn't we be able to spot in our own life whether we're walking in humility or whether we're walking in pride? Why, sure. Because we don't know sometimes what these things mean. We think that innocently we can just get by with doing them. But you know when you have clothes on, don't you? I hope you have clothes on this morning. I know when I have a suit on and a tie versus just, you know, a t-shirt and some blue jeans. You feel different when you have clothes on and when you don't have them on, right? So the same thing about pride and humility, because that's really what we're going to talk about today, because we're talking about where we start in order to get the Word of God to work in our life. And it starts by us being able to clothe ourselves. We're going to read it here in just a minute. Clothe ourselves with this humility. Well, we should be able to recognize whether we have the clothes of humility on or we have the clothes of pride on. Because we use words sometimes like, well, we're proud of our house, or we're proud of our new car, or we're proud of our new baby. You know, we use words sometimes, but even though we use words like that, doesn't necessarily we mean we're in pride. But here's the point. The point is that all of us in here have to deal with these issues, because there can be some areas in our life where we're in pride and not in humility, and other areas of our life where we are in humility and not in pride. Now, how many of you want to know the areas, whether you're clothed in humility or you're clothed in pride? Well, let's look what the Bible says. Did you find 1 Peter chapter 5? He said, verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit your... And this is a good thing for young people to learn, so that when you grow old, you'll already have learned it. Because it's a little harder to teach old dogs new tricks. I'm not calling you an old dog. I'm just saying sometimes you get so set in your ways, you don't want to change. Now, how many know if you're set in your ways and you don't want to change, that's a form of pride? You ever heard anybody referred to, well, that man is a prideful man? You don't want to be known by that title. I said, you don't want to be known. There's a lot of people who say, well, I'm a prideful man. You don't want to be known as a prideful man. You don't want to be known as a prideful person. You want to be known as a person clothed in humility. Okay? And we'll learn next week how to clothe ourselves in humility. But let's look at this. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Underline that. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud. Who does? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now, go back up there to verse 5. Let's break this down just a minute, because look what it says. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. So just like you and I are wearing clothes today, and it wouldn't be pride, it wouldn't be a sin. It wouldn't be prideful to say that we have our clothes on today, would it? Well, no more than it would be a sin to say that we are clothed in humility. See, a while ago I asked you, all those that know that you are clothed in humility, stand up. Well, I didn't see anybody stand up. So obviously you must not know what you're clothed with. So are you clothed with humility? Because if you're not clothed with humility, you're clothed with pride. Now, I know that's a religious low blow for you, and I'll explain these things, and I want you to see them, because look what it says. It says, be clothed with humility. And so, is it wrong for us to acknowledge that we have clothes on today? Come on. These are not trick questions. I'm just asking you so you'll logically begin to follow and see what I'm telling you, because religion teaches us falsely about what humility is. Religion teaches us things like when you're humble means you're a wimp. You know, that you're just, you don't have any backbone and that you're just a pushover. How many know we're not to be a pushover for anybody? Jesus was the most meek and humble person that could be. I know Moses claimed it first, but Jesus came after him. Are you listening to me? And how many know Jesus being meek and humble, I don't believe he went up to those Pharisees and scribes that day and said, oh, your father is of the devil. I don't believe he talked like that. I believe he got pretty boisterous. See, there's a difference between being bold and being arrogant. I had a guy come in here one time. He said, you must be arrogant. I said, I'm not arrogant. I'm confident. He's not. Why do you think I'm arrogant? He says, because you tell those people some of that stuff in there like they can have it. I said, duh. Listen, there's a difference between being confident in what God's Word says and being arrogant. When you're arrogant, that's being full of pride. I believe Jesus was bold in what he said. Are you with me? And we need to be bold, because we're bold and we're confident when we say things like, you know, this is a year of restoration. This is going to be your year of restoration, and everything that has been stolen from you is going to have to be paid back to you. Well, see, that's not being arrogant. That's being bold. That's being confident. You think the pressure's on me? Do you think when I go up and lay hands on somebody and pray for some sick person that the pressure's on me? You say, well, what if they don't get healed? That's not my job. It's not my job. My job is to do what the Word of God says. It's His job to do it. Come on. It takes the pressure off of us. I'm here as a mouthpiece. I'm here preaching what God said. Well, how do we get it to work? Where do we start? That's why we titled the message, Start Here. Now look what it says, okay? It says that if we be clothed in humility, if you don't understand what humility is,
then how are you going to know if you're clothed in it? Well, listen to me. If I don't understand whether I'm clothed with humility, then I'm going to get over in that other category of being in pride. Now, what does he say? Come on, read it with me here in verse 5. It says, God, say God, resists the proud. Now, that's New Testament. God resists the proud. Well, wait a minute. What does resist mean to you? Resist means something that comes against us. Something that stands. I don't know about you, but I get up every morning and my body comes against me. I get up in the morning and my mind resists me. Are you here? I get out there mingling a little bit in the world and the world comes against me. I'm getting resisted on all fronts. The last thing that I want to be resisted by is God. I said, how many of you want to be resisted? You know, you're going to be resisted by the world. You're going to be resisted by your own flesh. You're going to be resisted by your mind wanting to do other things. The last thing you want to be resisted by is God. Absolutely not. Come on, somebody. Well, he said, if I don't have humility and being clothed with humility, he said, he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Are y'all here? Okay, so there's four things here I want to show you. Four benefits of humility listing here. Because the Scripture says that God resists the proud. So if I have any pride in my life, God is going to resist me in that area. It didn't say the devil was going to resist me. It said God would resist me. Now, we know God is not the one that steals from us. God's not the one that teaches us, you know, things of life with evil. So we're not saying that. But what we're saying is, if there's areas of our life that we're not humble in, then we're in pride. And if we're in pride, then we are going to be resisted by God. Now, that's important that you get a hold of that, because how many people have you tried to help, and maybe even helping, but they're in pride? Now, because you don't recognize it or because you don't understand it, listen to me. If they're being resisted by God, what makes you think you can help them? Now it gets a little heavy, doesn't it? All right. I got your attention a little bit. All right. Verse 5, here's what it says. I'm going to give you four things, okay? And listen to me. Look up here just a second. If you do these four things, then these things that I'm about to share with you will come automatically. I said automatically. You don't have to pray for them. You don't have to hope for them. You know, if I got up here after the service and jumped off the top of this building over onto the driveway, how many know pain would come automatically? You ever took your shoes off and, you know, going through the house or somewhere at night and stump your toe? How many know pain comes automatically? I'm telling you, if you do these things, then the Word of God and what it declares here, these benefits, that's why we need to know these things, so it will motivate us to do these things. They will come automatically. Here's the first one. He says that we are to be clothed in humility. Now, next week I'll show you what that means. I don't have time to get into that part of it today. But the first benefit of humility, when we're clothed with that humility, is that God will give us more grace. Automatically. When I clothe myself with humility, the Bible says that God will give me more grace. Not just grace, but more grace. How many of you could use more grace? How does more grace come? It comes by being humble. It comes by being clothed with the spirit of humility. Listen to me, it doesn't come by prayer. You won't find one passage of Scripture in the New Testament Bible that says we are to pray for grace. And by the way, if you don't know what grace means, it is the ability towards God's ability towards mankind. It's God's favor towards mankind. It's God's enablement to mankind to do what he can't do in and of himself. So how many of you think you need more grace? Well, sure, we all need more grace, but how does grace come? Well, the only way more grace will come is by us being humble. You're not going to pray for it, or you're not going to stand in faith for it. It comes by being humble. If you want more grace, you're going to have to be clothed in humility. Well, Pastor, how do I get clothed in humility? Well, come back next week and I'll show you. But I want to talk about the opposite of that so you recognize areas in your life. Okay, now look at the sixth thing here. Are you following what I'm saying? Look at verse 6. It says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt. Underline that. That he may exalt you in due time. So here's the second benefit. If I stay in humility, automatically God said he will exalt me. Now, exalt is probably not what you think either. Because, you know, God, you know, is going to exalt me at work, or God's going to exalt me in the praise and worship. No. Exalt means, literally, it means to lift you up and to lift you out of a situation. There's a lot of you today, and I sense that in my spirit, that you're going through some situations. If you will humble yourself, the Bible says that automatically God will lift you up and lift you out of those situations. We stay in those situations because there's areas of pride in our life. And if there's pride in our life, then God will resist us. God's resisting us. Listen, what are you and I going to do about that? Are y'all here? Okay. So the second benefit is that God will automatically exalt us. Then verse 7, look at this. I told you to give you 4. Casting all your care upon the Lord because he cares for you. So here's the third benefit. When I stay in humility and clothe myself with humility, then it's automatic that God shows his care for me. Now, how many Christians do you know that pout, go around having their own pity parties, saying things like, nobody knows I'm alive. Nobody even cares anything about me. You just want to go dry up somewhere under a juniper tree like Elijah. Listen, that's pride. Because the Bible says that if we will humble ourselves, he will exalt us and he will show us his care. His care for our life will automatically manifest things like he will never leave you nor forsake you. Your best friend might have left you. Your spouse might have left you, but God said, I will never leave you or I will never forsake you. He said, I have never seen the children of God begging bread or the righteous forsaken. The manifestation of the closeness, how the wonderful care of God is so close in our life, will just automatically surround us, knowing that we're in the everlasting, ever-loving arms of Jesus. Are you with me? So if I humble myself, what's he going to do? He's going to give me more grace. More grace. More grace. If I humble myself, what's he going to do? He's going to exalt me up and out of situations and circumstances and things that I face in this life. And if I humble myself, I'm going to experience the manifestation, the presence. Some of you are struggling in your worship. That's why you get quiet sometimes. You think you're trying to hear God. And yes, there's times to hear God. But there's times that you humble yourself in worship so God can pull you up and out of those things. And then the fourth one, look at verse 8 and 9. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings
are experienced by your own brotherhood in the world. So when I humble, listen, number four, when I humble myself, I have no problem resisting the devil. When I walk and clothe myself in humility, listen, the devil, when I resist him, has to flee. How many Christians go around, oh man, what's the matter? I don't know, the devil's on my trail. Well, what's he doing on your trail? Oh, you don't understand, Pastor. I mean, every time. No, you don't understand. Doesn't the Bible say, and I get flack about this too, doesn't the Bible say that Jesus has already defeated the devil? Doesn't it say that he is a defeated foe? Come on, somebody. Isn't the Word of God declaring to us that he has put all things under our feet, include the enemy, the devil? The devil is not only defeated, but he's doomed. He's damned. He's going to spend forever in hell, in the lake of fire, burning forever. Why do we have this thought that the devil is trying to get us? Because of pride. Because a lack of knowing who you are and what you are in Christ. Are y'all with me today? Today? Okay. So I want to show you quickly here in the time I've got left. Go over to the book of Proverbs. Now let me show you what it looks like if you have the clothes of pride on. Anybody like to know? I think so. Because God what? He resists the proud. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. Now listen to me before I read. All of us in here have had to deal with some issues of pride in our life. If you say, not me, then you're going to have to come up here and make an altar call in a minute and repent. So we're not trying to single anybody out and quit jabbing people and say, you listen to that? No. Look, if the shoe fits, what, you wear it? If it's a plant, just look forward and nobody will know we're talking about you. But at the same time, we should be able to see whether we're clothed with pride, just like we see we're clothed with clothes on today, our humility, right? But not necessarily in somebody else's life, but we're looking at our own life. God didn't set us up to judge other people in that ramification. Are y'all here? Okay. So here we go. Proverbs 11 verse 2 says, when pride comes, then comes shame. Say shame, shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Now look up here just a second. How many of you have ever done something that you have been ashamed of? Well, let me rephrase it. How many of us, since you have been saved, a Christian, born again, have done something that you were ashamed of? I think we could all raise our hands. You know why we were ashamed? Because there was an area of pride in our life. I told you this would not go over real big today, but it's something that you need to hear. It's coming straight from the Word of God. It's our starting point. If we're going to have these things work automatically in our life, then we're going to have to start here. It starts with humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, you didn't like the shame one? Let's go to another one. Go here to Proverbs 13, verse 10. Come on, somebody. It says, by pride, you found it? Comes nothing but strife. But with the well advised is wisdom. Now, we've talked sometime on wisdom, use these as wisdom scriptures, but we're looking today at things like pride, strife. Here's what strife means if you don't know. Contention, if you got the King James. It means to quarrel, to argue, to fight. We're talking about how to recognize whether we have the clothes of pride on or the clothes of humility. If you're a quarrelous person, a contentious person, if you're always fighting and arguing, it is a sure sign that you have some pride working in your life. Hello? Remember, this is for you today. Okay? I know you're thinking, boy, I wish my wife was here to hear that. No. Listen, because if you're in a marriage and you have strife going on, if you're in a marriage and there's quarrels, there's contention, there's fighting, it is a sign that there is pride in that marriage. Hello, somebody. There's pride when the individual tries to defend themselves, tries to cover for themselves, tries to point the finger at everybody else but themselves. Nobody that's full of pride comes up and says, I'm full of pride. No. You hear people say, well, how come that job didn't work out? Oh, man, that boss down there, he's a jerk. Everybody that works down there is a jerk. Well, wait a minute. Maybe it's not the boss. Maybe it's you with your prideful self. Come on. Because God resists the proud, but he gives what? More grace to the humble. Are you listening to me? So people who are full of pride, they're not going to come around and say, well, I'm full of pride. No, they're not even going to probably listen to a message like that. They'll probably just get up and walk out because, hey, it ain't going to tell me I'm full of pride. Who does he think he is? See, prideful people don't want any kind of correction at all because they think they're right. They've convinced themselves that they're right. They listen to lies so long that they tell it and believe that it's true. Well, go over to Proverbs 16:18. Remember, being humble is not being timid. It's not being shy, okay? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Now, some of you might be saying, what does this have to do with restoration, Pastor? It has everything to do with it. Remember, I titled the message, Start Here. If this is going to be your year of restoration, God gave us a word for this church, for the people of Living Word, that this would be your year of restoration, you're going to have to start here. It starts by humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. Be clothed in humility. So the Word of God will work in your life that God is not resisting you. God's not taking things from you. God's not stealing things from you. But if you're being resisted by God, then the devil has a heyday. Just like he did in the life of Job. Are you here? Well, look at Proverbs 16:18. It says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Well, it tells us two things about pride there, doesn't it? It causes destruction and it causes us to fall. Are you here? Now, here's a thought question again. If somebody is resisting, well, let me say it this way. If somebody is in pride, now we all love our brothers, don't we, and our sisters. And we know we're supposed to love God and we're supposed to love one another. And we're supposed to help our neighbors. But if somebody is in pride and they're struggling, maybe they're struggling financially. They're struggling to keep a job. And our inclination is to help them. Now, let me ask you a question. If God is resisting, because the Bible says God resists the proud, then where do you and I get off thinking we can help that person? Now, I'm just throwing thought out for you. I'm not trying to teach you some new doctrine here, because there are legitimate things, there are reasons why sometimes people are in situations. But listen, if somebody is struggling and struggling and struggling, then there's a very good possibility that they're being resisted by God because they're in pride. And if us to try to help them and God's resisting them, then it makes God's word a lie. Because why are we trying to help them if they're being resisted by God? It's making mockery of what God has declared because they have failed to recognize
that it's their prideful life, pride in the areas of their life that's causing them to stay low, that's causing them to struggle and not receive. I mean, we just read some automatic things that will happen when we stay humble before God. That's why we don't want to be known as, you know, how many people call themselves, well, that's, you know, that's a prideful person. Well, hey, you don't want to be known as a prideful person in any area of your life. I know what sometimes people are saying because you're trying to protect your name. You're trying to protect your reputation. But Jesus didn't try to protect his name. He didn't try to protect his reputation. He said he was not protecting any reputation. He humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death. Are you here? And we read on Wednesday, Jesus didn't defend himself even when they were making false accusations against him. Are you with me? All right, let's go to another one here quickly. Proverbs 29:23. Say, I love my pastor. Okay. I don't want to leave y'all on a low note here, but. Now look at Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will remain or retain honor. Now again, humility will lift you up. God will exalt you up and out. But pride will take you low. Have you ever seen, I'm sure some of you have, some of these signs or these guys under the bridges? They'll hold up a sign and say, need work, I'll work for food. Anybody ever seen those? Okay. You know, I have actually, sometime I'll go up and I'll ask, they'll come maybe in the Walmart parking lot or whatever, and they'll be asking you for money. Anybody ever seen those? And, you know, I don't just give people money. I minister to them. I ask them, I say, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And they'll almost invariably tell, yes, sir, yes, I sure do. Well, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? Oh, yes, yes. And they'll begin to talk to you about scriptures. Now, how many of you know what an oxymoron is? That's like saying jumbo shrimp. Just by definition, shrimp is chiquito, you know, small, and jumbo shrimp. Well, it's an oxymoron for somebody who says they're a Christian. I'm making a point here. I'm not trying to put anybody down that's in that situation. But I'm saying for somebody to be holding up a sign saying, I am begging, I'll work for food, and saying that they are a Christian is an oxymoron. Because the Word of God said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or my children begging bread. For you to be out there begging. Now listen, I know there's situations, I know there's circumstances. One guy, I think he got wind of something like this, and he said, I'm going to be honest and truthful, I need a beer. And that was his sign. Well, it's better than him saying he's a Christian and he's out there begging under the underpass. What I'm saying is, look, and I'm not making fun of people in that situation. I'm trying to make a point here. If a person is in that situation, they have been made low because of pride. Pride takes you down, down, down. But humility exalts you, lifts you up, and lifts you out of situations. You're not going to find somebody that is righteous and serving God and being a faithful steward like we talked about in the offering out there holding up signs begging for a handout. Are y'all with me? Okay, so we're looking at what the clothing of pride looks like. Next week we'll talk about this cloth of humility. Because if we know the difference, then we can get rid of the pride in our life. We can know who we are, and we won't be ashamed to stand up when somebody asks us, are you a humble man? If you're a humble man, stand up and declare it.
Now let me close because it's out of time quickly here. Over in James. Are y'all okay this morning? Oh, praise the Lord. I told you this wouldn't be one of these shouting things, but you need to hear this. I said you need to hear this. James chapter 4. According to the Bible, if somebody's low, and somebody's down, and somebody's out, it's because they have a pride issue. Go back and read your Bible. Go back and read the Scripture, because we have to be able to get the cloth of pride off of our life and put on the clothing of humility. Now, look. Let's read this last Scripture here. James chapter 5. Look at verse 5 and 6. James chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. It says, "Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously?" In other words, He's a jealous God, right? And He loves those who have come to Him. Now look what He says. "But He gives," come on now, more grace, not just grace, but mega grace. How many of you could use more grace? How does more grace come? By praying? By being a faith person? No. More grace comes by being what? Okay, a humble person. Look what it says. But God, says it again, "But God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble." Now I'm just saying, look, all of us in here, probably at some place, in some point, we could say, you know what, there's some pride issues there. I've shown you today, you know, what the Word of God says. Thank God for the buts in the Bible, verse 6, "But God gives more grace to the humble." Now, let me just kind of close this with this story. I don't know, how many of you are hunters in here? There's a video that was circling, I don't know, it was on YouTube and some others, but it was a deer hunting guide for bow hunters, you know, bow and arrow hunters. And I bring this up to you because it illustrates a point here. It's about two guys that are out there in the woods, and they're one's teaching him how to hunt deer with a bow. And all of a sudden, they see this big bow turn, this big buck turn sideways to him, and they're whispering, there he is. And the guy pulls back, says, "Now, real slow, real quiet," pulls back his bow, cocks that thing, and lets that arrow fly. And as soon as he lets it fly, the big old buck with the big old rack, he ducks. And the guy said, "Did you see that?" He said, "That deer ducked." He said, "Why did that deer duck?" He said, "Oh, because he passed by a cabin the other day and saw his big brother hanging on the wall." Now listen to me. The point of the story is when the arrows are flying at us, we need to get down low. Amen. When the fiery darts of the wicked one are coming at us, we need to remain low so that they'll pass over the things of the world, so God can exalt, so God can lift us up and lift us out of these things in life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Hallelujah! Because God gives more grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. When I stay clothed in the spirit of humility, stand up on your feet. When I stay clothed in the spirit of humility, I can automatically know that God has given me more grace. I can automatically know that whatever situation I'm in life, listen, God's going to lift me up and lift me out of it. I can just know if I stay clothed in humility, that I can experience the everlasting, wonderful, loving arms of Jesus, knowing that if everybody else forsakes me and I try to get over in a pity party, listen, there's the Spirit of God right there saying, "I haven't left you. I haven't forsaken you. I'm here." There's this just knowing that if I stay humble before God, the devil has to resist me. Because if God be for me, who could be against me? Do you get the principle? Do you see what it means to stay clothed in the spirit of humility? You don't want God resisting you. Because if God's resisting you, then what can I do as your pastor? What can your friends do? Oh, they can prolong your agony. I said they can bail you out for a month or years or whatever, but they're prolonging agony because you're going to have to humble yourself under God's hand in order to get those things out.